Welcome to the CTOX podcast. This is the place to be if you're a technology leader navigating the fractional CTO landscape. I'm Marisa Brassfield, joined by Lior Weinstein, the visionary behind CTOX.
Here, we cut through the noise to deliver actionable insights for CTOs at every stage, whether you're looking at your first five-figure client or actively building systems to scale.
That's right. You'll learn principles, not just tactics, to transform your technical expertise into a thriving fractional practice. Let's dig in.
Welcome back to the CTOX podcast. Your words tell the room who you are, whether you mean to or not. Today, we're unpacking one of the most misunderstood leadership skills, executive presence. Lior will share how your language, pacing, and posture can elevate you from tactician to trusted partner, and why the biggest shift has nothing to do with your resume and everything to do with your voice. Lior, welcome.
Thank you. This is going to be a great conversation. And we decided to record this podcast because of a workshop and conversations we had in the accelerator. So I know it's going to be top of mind for a lot of our listeners.
Yes. And this was one of the most well-received workshops we've done in several months. So yeah, this is going to be a great one. So let's start from the 40,000 foot view. When you talk about executive presence, Lior, you often say that it's not about a title, it's about altitude. What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is that you can be in a room, and depending on the words you use, you're going to be perceived in a certain way. And it's not about what title you carry. It's not about how old you are. It's about what you talk about. And if you talk about certain topics in a certain way, you're going to be perceived in leader speak and somebody that thinks about the big picture, or you're going to get perceived as an individual contributor. This can happen to a 60-year-old chief operating officer that communicates like a doer, like an individual contributor. And you can also see, you know, young people shine, like 20-year-olds or even younger, really come off with this leadership presence just because of how they decide to talk and what they decide to talk about.
I can imagine that this, the development of your executive presence can have a pretty significant impact on your bottom line and what you're able to do and achieve as a fractional leader.
Yeah. One of the issues that people first come into the accelerator, if you've tried to do any kind of consulting, if you're thinking about it, your mental model is going to be framed around hours, around effort, which means you're already tying in the way you think about things in the context of the work you do and not the value you create or the impact that you generate for the business. And so part of what we're going to talk about today and part of us shifting your mindset is exactly to be more value-oriented, impact-oriented, big picture, and less down-to-earth lobby level, which would basically, yeah, put you in that hourly context and your ability to get out of it and make more money. And not just more money on your time, but more money on your value is going to be very limited until you make this shift.
So what are those three rungs of communication that most CTOs slide between? And what does it sound like?
So the way we look at it is, for simplicity's sake, is think about the difference between an individual contributor, somebody that does the work, manager, somebody that coordinates work, and then leader, somebody that inspires work, creates impact, creates vision, creates capability, as opposed to managing capability or actually doing things. So let's say, for example, let's say you have, given a situation, a product launch failed to hit targets, and you're in a meeting and the chief marketing officer says the technology didn't deliver what we needed. And I see an individual contributor speak would be something like, actually, we delivered everything that was in the requirements document, right? Very specific scope, very down to earth. The manager would be like, let me pull the project documentation so we can review what was scoped versus what was expected. Already way better. You can see this instant change between those two examples. But then the leader would go back to the big framed impact. The launch didn't hit targets. That's the problem we're solving. Rather than relitigating the scope, let's look at what we learned. What would we do differently? What's the path to recovering those numbers? I have some thoughts on where the bottleneck actually is. And you notice you go from this very defensive, blaming, actually with this so-and-so. You kind of make it very concrete as opposed to, well, you can't change the past. And this is about teamwork and about the future. So you reframe, you acknowledge what had happened. Let's look at what learned, objectify it, because you can't change it. And then you also make it collaborative. What would we do differently? What's the path to becoming those numbers? And lastly is, how are you a part of this? I have some thoughts on where the bottleneck actually is, as opposed to all of this being not in you, not around you, but rather through you, and you can take ownership of it.
Yeah, this is great. I noticed as you were going through each of those scenarios, I was imagining people around a table and how that meeting would feel, but it's that leader level where you really get to the breakthrough solutions that either improve the system, improve the process, improve how the result is being created. But in any case, it improves the business overall, which is kind of the point.
That's the point of view as a leader.
So why do even experienced technology leaders sometimes default to that tactical mode?
I think it's habit. You know, most CTOs communicate like builders, not strategists, because they are. They're builders. A lot of our job is to apply logic, think in sequence. What is the order of operations that need to go? And if you've been around long enough, you really can dive into the specific unit of action that needs to happen. So it's easy and natural to think that way. That's how, you know, we build up in our career. And mostly a lot of the problems that technology leaders are used to dealing with are very specific. It's like a piece of code or a specific software, a specific information that moves from X to Y. And until they actually go to the C level, to the C-suite, they don't really need to think of that level because some other C-suite professional had given them the direction and now they're figuring out the details. But actually for you as a fractional CTO, you're the one that needs to make sure the direction as well. And then other people then figure out the leader. So I think it's mostly that tactical thinking is often hobbits, and it's not allowing you to resonate as a leader in the room.
Hmm. What are some of the language shifts that can help you stay at that leadership altitude?
So part of it is, like we said, so objectify. So in that example, like a product launch failed to hit target, just say the launch didn't hit target. Right? Don't go to the why. Just first of all, recognize the project for what it is and identify the problem. That's why in the example, that's the problem we're solving, meaning you know the difference between signal and noise. And maybe you solve it with technology, but maybe you don't. You make sure on an executive level, everybody understands what are the problem needs to be solved to get the business impact that everybody's looking for. So objectification, make sure that you're not just diving into the details. As soon as you're diving into the details, like you talk about a specific system or a specific process, you're already not in leadership speak, right? And lastly is the communal aspect of it. So less I, less them, right? More we. And the we I mean by royal we. Like, how do we participate together and recover those numbers? And once you frame it as the we, then you can say, my part in the we is, this is my thoughts. This is where I think the problem actually is. So as long as in the leadership speak, you actually end up mostly focusing on the impact and the result and not the how, if most of your time goes there, then you're going to be perceived as the leader in the room and not the doer in the room that's taking notes and really just air traffic control tasks to someone else to do.
I imagine that staying at that leadership level, because this is a learned skill, it also requires a little bit of self-awareness. How can CTOs recognize when they've slipped into that IC mode and pull themselves back out in real time?
I think if you end up talking about specific systems or processes instead of what is the situation, what are the options that we have and what are the recommendations that I have, then you know you're slipping into the wrong part of your ladder, the wrong rung, right? If you keep the conversation around the situation, the options, the recommendations you have, called SOR, then you know you're about decision-making and you're about impact of vision. And if you're not using those words, you're probably some kind of in triage mode, specific mode, that means you're not in leadership speak. And also use in conversation, use silence, use pacing. Don't just talk. Don't just fill the space to prove value. Right? Part of it is if you've really focused on the impact, there's not so much to say about it. There's a lot to say about how, about implementation. So if you find yourself speaking for 5 minutes straight, you're probably out of it. Focusing on vision, outcomes, systems, people, humans, and not specific, you know, software, specific processes, then it means you're in the leadership speak. And if you're not, it means that you're sliding out. Now, sometimes it's okay to slide out. That's why I'm thinking about it, you know, percent of conversation. But you need to be 85, 90% on the leadership track and not the other one. So you keep that presence as a leader.
That makes sense. What happens when your language and your energy don't match your title? Like this could be someone who has either the leadership title and they're not communicating in that level, or the reverse.
Yeah, there's, first of all, it's going to affect your income because if people can't trust you, and that's like implicit trust, right? Because they're thinking they're not reacting to you in a certain way, then it's going to be pretty hard for you to rally your team. It's going to be pretty hard for you to renew your contract. It's going to be pretty hard for you to get bigger contracts. But one of the examples I give in one of my client CTOs, I had an IC in the company that I decided to promote to be a director. Okay, director of product, very talented guy. I figured I can teach him product. I can't teach him how to care. I can't teach him 4 years of being in the company, knowing all the systems. And what had happened for the first 6 months, all of the other executives were still treating him like an IC, like an individual contributor, in conversations, in meetings, because he was still using those words. Like somebody would come up with a problem. He's like, oh, I'm going to check this system and log in and make sure that the data is good. So he was kept using such grounded language that people were just treating him like the hands of the wheel that he used to be. And as soon as I reflected back to him, because he was so busy, because he was just reactive all the time, and he started shifting his words to, somebody else is going to do it. This will get taken care of. Not I will take care of it, and so on. Then almost instantly, all the leaders responded, again, implicitly, not explicitly, right? Meaning they didn't think about it. They're just like, in practice, what was happening, he changed his reaction and his words, and they changed their reactions and their words. So kind of being aware that if you have some anxiety around your position, it would make you over-explain. It would make you seek permission. It would make you seek validation. And leaders don't do that. When you speak, you treat people how to treat you. So if you're going to be very grounded, very tactical, guess what? People are just going to be tactical about you. They're not going to try to talk to you about vision stuff, and they're not going to respect you as a leader because you give them no implicit reason to do it. But as soon as you shift out of it, they're happy to talk to you. They're happy to match your energy.
Amazing. Now, one of the scenarios that we can often go back to our default conditioning and our default communication patterns is in high-pressure moments. What are some of the resets that you might suggest fractional CTOs and leaders listening adopt so that they can return to that leadership voice?
So instead of reacting immediately with solutioning, which is very common for builders, very common for problem solvers, a lot of CTOs identify themselves as problem solvers, use questions. Use questions. Don't offer solution immediately. So somebody says, can we do this? Instead of saying, yes, we can do it. We can go to that system and do that. No. It's like, why do you want to do this? Right? That's why in other episodes, we were talking about the what and why conversation. Why do you want to do this? Why is that important? As soon as you ask why, and why is that important? Everybody's like, whoa. They're thinking about impact. They're resonating with you as a leader. So instead of immediately offer solutions, ask questions. Now, if you happen to be in a conversation with somebody's actually testing your technical chops, we call it like a silverback moment, right? So maybe it's a CEO, maybe it's somebody doubting you because they use Cloud Code for a little bit. Just show the technical chops briefly. Like just say something that sounds like you know what you're talking about for 10 seconds, but then pivot to outcomes. The conversation has to be around outcomes and impact. So you have confidence. Now, one of the recommendations that I give, that I hold, is have very strong opinions, but weakly held. So you want to appear confident, but you don't want to appear stubborn. So if there's new information that comes in, that warrants you changing your mind, you should. You'll be respected if you change your mind. You're not going to be respected if you're stubborn. And that is to say, you need to be able to explain your position and not just explain it in words if you're called for it, but have confidence when you say your opinion about something. And then if new information comes in, be adaptable. So as long as you focus on questions, as long as you focus on impact, as long as you focus on bring all your information with confidence, you're going to be appeared as the leader in the room, even if your title is just a very low-level title relative to a C-suite.
So important. Makes me think about, I wish I could go back in every leadership room I've ever been in and just run like a real-time sentiment analysis of where people were communicating from. I can't imagine what like the next generation of executives is going to have in terms of their capabilities when it comes to this stuff. Mm-hmm. So for someone who's listening and they're really thinking differently about their executive communication, what's one small shift you'd suggest they make this week to speak more like a leader?
I think those question orientation, it's so easy. And it's scary at first because you're thinking you're challenging something, like you're disagreeing. You're not challenging, you're clarifying. And it's almost instant. Instead of immediately giving solutions, if somebody's asking for something, just ask why. What's the best impact? What would be the best result? And that would instantly, without really doing much, already put you at a different benchmark as a leader. And then the conversation is going to shift to the impact level. And then you're just surfing that impact layer instead of being down on the execution.
Beautiful. Well, if this episode helped you spot your own language patterns, share it with a fellow CTO who's ready to level up from tactician to trusted leader. And if you'd like for us to talk more about executive presence, leave us a comment. Shout us out on social media. We'd love, love, love to hear from you and any questions you have regarding this. See you next time.
See you next time.
That wraps up another episode of the CTOX podcast. We hope today's conversation gave you the tools and inspiration to advance your journey as a fractional CTO.
And don't forget, if you want more in-depth support or to connect with our community of fellow fractional CTOs, visit us at CTOX.com.
Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time on the CTOX podcast.